took the last couple of weeks off talking about Vacation Bible School and then talking about giving. But today we're back on our red letters. We've been working our way through the Gospel of John, looking at the red letters. And anytime there's red letters in the Bible, that means Jesus is speaking. And God says that we should listen when Jesus talks. You remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials? When he speaks, everybody listens. Well, when Jesus speaks, everybody ought to be listening. Okay, so here we are in John chapter 14. I'm going to just hit a few verses starting at verse 15. In the red letters, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Talking about obedience right off the bat here. And obedience can be a tough one. Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys to the World Championship in 1971, admitted that his position as a quarterback who didn't call his own signals was a source of trial for him. Coach Landry sent in every play. And he told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could Roger change the play. And he had better be right. And even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be able to run his own team. And Roger later said, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." See, obedience is a big deal. And here, according to Jesus, love equals obedience. When it comes to God, love equals obedience. Here's a few other verses. Verse 21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." In verse 23, he says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." And then in verse 24, he says, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." You see, you can't separate love for God from obedience to God. They go hand in hand. We can't just say the words and not act on it. And then John actually writes a little bit more in 1 John. It's one of those little ones towards the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3, he says, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands." Sometimes people struggle with their faith. Am I really saved? Am I really right with God? Well, one of the ways you measure that is how are you doing at obeying his word? We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. There's some assurance there. If we're being obedient to his commands, then we might be right with God. And then he goes on and says, "The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." It's easy to say, "I know God, I love God," but are you doing what he says? You see, that's the real key. And then he continues on here in 1 John chapter 2. He says, "But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him." And then he really sums it up. This is how we know we are in him. "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." You see, knowing God, loving God, is all tied to obedience to God. You cannot separate them. Then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "This is love for God." Okay, it's setting you up. Here's the definition of love for God: to obey his commands. That's what it says. But then it adds this little caveat: his commands are not burdensome. How about that? We prove our love for God by obeying him, but that is not hard to do. That's what the Bible says. You see, there's more to following Christ and loving God than just saying the right words. There's more to it than that. Following him and loving him will affect the way you live your life. It will affect your attitudes. It will affect your behavior. It will even affect your money, as we discussed last Sunday. True love for God always results in obedience. Always. Now, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 and 17. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Church, we need the Holy Spirit. He is a gift from God for his followers. And even this obedience, really, we rely on the Holy Spirit to obey. We need the Holy Spirit. Jack Deere wrote a book and he says, among all the servants of God, Jesus is unique because he is God. However, he is not unique in the source of power for his earthly ministry. His power to live a moral life and to minister miraculously is unequivocally attributed to the power of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural ability that Jesus displayed came from the Holy Spirit, who infused his humanity with grace, wisdom, and miraculous powers. You see, even though Jesus was God in the flesh, he did not use his God powers. Instead, he relied on the Holy Spirit to live the life he lived and to do all the stuff he did. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you think we need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody was a great preacher about a century ago, and he was going to have a ministry campaign in England. And an elderly pastor protested, why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated and inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And another pastor rose and responded, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. And he was a powerful preacher because he relied on the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The scripture here says that he is our counselor and he is the Spirit of Truth. Church, we need godly wisdom in this fallen world. You know, nowadays up is down and down is up and things are twisted every which way. We need godly wisdom and we need discernment. And this kind of wisdom and discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm not smart enough to navigate all the twists and turns in our world today. But the Holy Spirit is. We need him. As our counselor, he is best understood as simply our helper. He helps us with whatever we may need. We sang that song and we kind of repeated it there. And Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. He is our helper. He helps us be obedient. As we started off the message this morning, love for God is obedience, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. If we are down, he can pick us up. If we need direction, he can steer us. If we need encouragement, he can lift our spirits. We need the Holy Spirit. And in another sense, he is our advocate as a counselor. That's kind of almost a legal term, our advocate, meaning that he is constantly speaking to God on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. He is with us, and he is in us. If you're a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is in you. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You see, taking care of your body is not just about achieving a long, healthy life. It's about having a functioning, useful resource for God to use, the Holy Spirit in you. He wants to use you for his glory. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. There's a thought. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Wow. 1 John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This world is getting harder and harder for Christians to live in. But the one in you is greater than the one in the world. The Holy Spirit is right there guarding your heart and your mind, helping you to resist the enemy who is working so hard today against believers. The Holy Spirit is right there. So don't thwart his efforts by flooding your heart and mind with things that are contrary to God's word or things that will disappoint God. The Holy Spirit wants to help you, so don't be a hindrance there. He's helping you to overcome those sinful thoughts and those temptations that we all have. The Holy Spirit wants to help. So I say, listen to his nudging and cooperate with him. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he's there to help. Verse 26 in our text says, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, and he reminds us of what Jesus has said. He teaches us all things. You know, there are points in life where I feel like I kind of know my stuff, but there's a whole lot more that I feel like I don't know a thing. I need help. I need somebody to show me the way. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Let me say this to you. Did you know that you can have God's thoughts revealed to you? Did you know that? The very thoughts of God can be revealed to you. That comes by the Holy Spirit. God is speaking. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us hear and understand what God is saying. Verse 27 says, the Holy Spirit brings us peace. He is the one who can calm our troubled hearts. Anybody here wish you had a little more peace than you have right at this very moment? It's the Holy Spirit who can bring us peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. And his peace is not like ordinary peace, which is only achieved when everything is going along perfectly well. You know, if everything's just clicking along right on the money, no problems, nobody's giving me any grief, my paycheck's coming in on time, everything's just going great, peace comes. You know, I feel at peace. But what about when you're in trouble? Can you still find peace in the midst of trouble? You see, that's the kind of peace God is offering. It's peace that transcends our understanding, that even permeates in the midst of our trouble. That's the Holy Spirit abiding in you that can give you peace even in those times. It's been written, peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that he is there with you always. In other words, no matter what you're going through, you are never alone. The Holy Spirit is right there. I heard a lady talking about prayer just recently, and she talked about the prayer of agreement. You know, the Bible does talk about praying in agreement with others. And she says, even when you're praying alone, you're praying the prayer of agreement because there's four of you. There's you, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I like that. The Holy Spirit in you can give you peace in the midst of whatever trouble you're going on. Whatever you are facing, you can have peace. And then he is the one who gives us courage in this fallen world. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And as I mentioned earlier, I think it's getting harder and harder to be a Christian in our society. And in the world in general, it just seems like everything's anti-Christ, anti-God, and it's harder to be a Christian. It takes courage to be a Christian. You know, when I was young, it was kind of everybody was a Christian, pretty much. I mean, somebody might not live exactly right, but they would still claim they're a Christian. But nowadays, it's almost, you know, if you're a Christian, really? You know, you're the bad guy now. We need courage. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us courage. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the Spirit of God in us. To think clearly in these last days and to exude love even when hatred is being given to us. And to not be afraid, but to walk in confidence and courage because the Holy Spirit is in us. Now, as followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. He is in us. And yet, you can ask for the Holy Spirit. Even though he's in you already, you can ask for more of the Holy Spirit. And we are instructed to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I've listed off some things that we all need today, courage and peace and wise counsel and discernment and all those things. Those things come by the Holy Spirit in you. So if you're lacking courage and peace and discernment and wisdom, then ask for more Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling us that God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. So ask for the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody, that great preacher again, he says, if we are full of pride and conceit, ambition and self-seeking and pleasure in the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. And I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is full already with something else. We need more Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have to clear out some other junk first. Right? And then we ask, Lord, fill me. Holy Spirit, come. Lord Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit. I am struggling having peace in the trouble I'm facing. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I'm afraid of what's going on in the world around me. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. God, I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. So God, give me your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm faced with a decision and I can't decide what's really the right thing to do. I need your Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. And then Ephesians 5:18 says that we should keep on being filled with the Spirit. Don't be satisfied with the Spirit that you've already been given, but ask for more. In the kingdom of God, that is not a selfish thing. That is a godly thing to ask for more of God and more of the Holy Spirit and more of Jesus in your life. That's what he wants us to do. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. And D.L. Moody again says, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. So ask and keep on being filled with the Spirit. Now, if you actually look up Ephesians 5:18, you will notice that it actually starts with this phrase, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so it's an interesting point that the writer is making. He's kind of making a comparison between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. Well, scratch your head on that one. How do those line up with each other? Well, let me give you a thought. When you're drunk and when you're filled with the Spirit, either one, here's what they have in common. Are you ready? I know this could sound shocking, but when you hear me out, I think it'll make sense. Either case, you walk differently, you talk differently, you think differently, you act differently. You are under the influence. Whether you're drunk or whether you're filled with the Spirit, you are under the influence. Now, here's the big difference. When you're drunk, you are impaired. When you're filled with the Spirit, you are improved. That's the point. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be more Christ-like and think different and act different and talk different. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. He's the one that can help us. So let's be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Church, we need the Holy Spirit. I've heard somebody call him before the Holy Spigot. You know, you just tap your hose in on the side of the house and out comes water. Well, it is kind of like that. We need the Holy Spigot. We need the Holy Spirit. He can fill us and he can flow through us. He's the one who helps us to live the kind of life that God calls us to. We need the Holy Spirit. So, church, let's ask God for the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. We need the Holy Spirit. And we should ask God for the Holy Spirit in our church gatherings as well. We want the Holy Spirit here. And let's ask him to keep on filling us with the Spirit. Not be satisfied with just a little taste, but to keep on filling us and overflowing us with the Holy Spirit, with his wisdom, with his knowledge, his peace, his courage. All of that comes from the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? If you haven't felt the Spirit moving in your life for a while, I'd say let's ask today for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and our minds, to move in our church gatherings. God, we need the Holy Spirit. Can't do it in my own strength. I'm not smart enough in my own mind. I need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a little bit more, and we're just going to make this a time to invite the Holy Spirit. So would you agree with me and pray? God, we need your Spirit. We acknowledge that we are far less than we can be without you. In fact, living a Christian life is actually impossible without you and without your Spirit in us. And so, God, we ask for more of your Spirit. Fill us, God. If we have already experienced your Spirit in us, God, I pray that you would fill us again. Do it in a fresh way, Lord. God, I also pray that you'd help us to remove things that are already taking up space and make room for the Holy Spirit. But God, we acknowledge we need your Holy Spirit. So we ask, Lord, fill us again. Fill us anew, Lord. Thank you, God. And we know by your word that if we ask, you are faithful and you want to fill us. And so, God, we stand in faith as we ask, knowing you will fill us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand if you like. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood.